Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world. Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Well, we have a packed program. You would probably expect nothing less in this political season and time of seeing the application of Scripture to present-day events, which we are going to talk about at length later on in the program. First of all, though, I start with the good news. I want to tell you, I mentioned last week that the first three episodes of The Rapture Revisited, Finally, A Lawyer Takes a Look at End Time Events, was up on YouTube. And I encourage you to watch that. But I also want to let you know that within about the next 48 hours after this is being taped here on October 9th, we will have the next three episodes. So we'll have episodes 1 through 6. And while I think this is a must listen, I guess you'll say, a must watch, although it's a slide program, it isn't video, I want to tell you that its application is timeless, and its application is especially appropriate for now, and even more so if Joe Biden, by hook and crook, which is the only way he could win, does win this election. But I also should tell you the best way to reach it, because there are other Rapture Revisited types of titles on YouTube. If you would type in Rapture Revisited hyphen, or you don't even need to put in the hyphen, Red Sky Radio. It's a Red Sky Radio production. So if you just put Rapture Revisited, Red Sky Radio, you will pull all the episodes up first without having to wade through things. Second, good news. From what I understand, Mike Pence won the debate hands down. I was traveling. I've just been out of pocket. I could not see that debate. But everything I heard, even from neutral parties, say that Pence mopped up Kamala Harris, who, you know, as we know, more or less slept her way to her positions. And that's not an exaggeration. It really isn't. We know that to be the case. It's just that, of course, the mainstream media will not tell you that. But let's get rolling with the things. That's the end of my good news. The rest is just plain old news, and we're going to end with a teaching today, which I promised 2 weeks ago, as to why this is so critical, what we are going to see and face ahead, and what I believe to be the very near term, what you need to do about it, and let's just get rolling. But first of all, I want to reference something, a couple of things about Joe Biden. And I don't want to go into great depth on him. It's more about the people who are supporting this guy who is the quintessential loser, the guy who has done nothing but plagiarize other people's writings and speeches, and yet nobody talks about that except the people who know. But I want to bring out something that most people don't know that will further indict the worthlessness of this man's character. He is an absolute empty suit. Now, I would apologize to Brooks Brothers, because Brooks Brothers really can't control what empty party buys their suits, right? But there's a book that was released a couple of years ago by Donald Rumsfeld, name from the past, called When the Center Held. I think it came out in 2018 or 2017. But he talks about Gerald Ford in there. And the part of Gerald Ford that has application here is going back to his role, his tough role of holding together things from the center at the time that the Vietnam War ended and we pulled out. Okay, so Nixon resigned. Ford is now president. And the Vietnam situation is collapsing. The soldiers are being pulled out. The Viet Cong, the North Vietnamese, are descending on the South with great rapidity, great speed, and viciousness. And it was the last man out of town, turn out the lights. But President Ford sought for funding from the U.S. Congress, funding to be able to at least provide enough short-term defense and protection to allow us to evacuate with the fewest amount of casualties, and also to be able to take some of our most faithful Vietnamese friends with us, the ones who would be dead as dead can be. We pull out and there they lie exposed to the Viet Cong. They would not survive 9 seconds in the presence of those aggressors. So President Ford wanted a short-term funding thing just to help us get out timely without too much rush to get everybody that we need to get out of our own soldiers and these Vietnamese. The bill died. And why did it die? Because of one ridiculously stupid anti-American senator by the name of Joe Biden. And fortunately, I shouldn't have said stupid. I should have just said immoral. And fortunately, President Ford was able to extricate about 1,500 Vietnamese. And once they got to the United States, then President Ford sought for a small package to help these faithful supporters of the American military integrate into American society. That bill did not pass. And why did it not pass? Because of an immoral loon and goon, a Democrat by the name of Joe Biden. This is the guy who thinks he's qualified to be president, when he hasn't ever really been an American. Well, there is a small good ending to this story. It has nothing to do with Joe, creepy, handsy, feely, touchy, molesty, pedophilic thinking Joe, who the other day says, and looking at these girls, he said, I can hardly wait to watch them dance when they get 4 years older. Well, why wait, Joe? You've never waited before. Creep. Well, there is a bit of good news at the end of this dealing with those 1,500 Vietnamese. Most of the Vietnamese that I run into, the ones I have met, it's not a lot, but from everything I've heard, they tend to vote Republican. So maybe that was what Joe was afraid of back then. You know, he's all for immigration when he thinks they're going to be Democrats. But man alive, he's against immigration when he thinks that there's even a remote chance they'll end up voting Republican. Next piece here. This is a piece of shame on so-called pro-life evangelicals, and I use that term loosely, who've endorsed Joe pro-abort, You make them, we'll scrape them, no fetus will beat us, Biden. Pro-life evangelicals, that's what they call themselves. But there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians who aren't, and pro-life and so forth, well, they aren't really. But this is what they wrote, this group. I'm going to point out a couple of people, not all of them. I don't have time. I don't want to waste the time on these pack of losers. But they said, and this was quoted in the Washington Examiner, quote, "We believe that on balance, Joe Biden's policies are more consistent with a biblically shaped ethic of life than those of Donald Trump. Therefore, even as we continue to urge different policies on abortion, we urge evangelicals to elect Joe Biden as president." End quote. This is just unbelievable. Now, in this group is a former Christianity Today, and I'm glad he's former because he's distinctly unqualified, by the name of John Huffman. Let's add to that Jerusha Dufour, the granddaughter, hang on, the granddaughter of Billy Graham. She goes on to say that she emphasizes her opposition to abortion, but she likes the Democratic policy proposals, which she calls, quote, the accessible health services for all citizens, affordable child care, a minimum wage that lifts workers out of poverty that will reduce the number of abortions, end quote. Now, first of all, Billy Graham is probably rolling over in the grave, his grave, to have such a loser as Jerusha Dufour. Dufour sounds like the right last name for her. Granddaughter. Well, accessible health care services. When did Jesus ever say that that was the government's responsibility? When did Jesus ever say, or any place in Scripture, that there should be affordable health care? Or more importantly here, she says affordable child care. Actually, isn't the primary role of the woman to be the caretaker of home, the guy's work? I mean, hey, I sound old-fashioned, but isn't that what Scripture says, that the women should be at home raising the children, not running around being gullible and being busybodies in other people's homes, but taking care of the children? Dufour and Huffman, you don't know jack about Scripture. The minimum wage that lifts workers out of poverty. I'll tell you what Scripture says. You pay the worker his wages when they're due. You pay that, you don't withhold the wages. You pay that worker a fair wage. But that was never a role of the government. The government had one role in Jesus' time, one role throughout Scripture, and one reason for paying taxes. And that is to maintain the civil order. But these losers, Dufour and Huffman, don't know jack about it. And they call themselves pro-life evangelicals. So let me understand here, Doofy, Doofus Dufour. Let me understand here. You think that these other policies will reduce the number of abortions. I want to tell you something, you hiding in the grass demoncrats, because that's what you are. We're not talking about reducing abortions. We're talking about eliminating them. So you're trying to tell me Jesus would prefer affordable child care and reduce the number of abortions in the country from 1 million to 700,000 a year? He would prefer that over a policy where actually the abortions go to zero. Zero. Trump is the most pro-life president in the history of this country. And I say that because we've had Roe v. Wade since 1973. So we only have to go back 47 years to make that determination. But without question, this is a title he has earned. He's the only one who's spoken at the pro-life March for Life. Biden is the one, though. He's dropped his any past Catholic-related moderation for abortion. Notably, he dropped his support for the Hyde Amendment, the provision that bans federal funding for most abortions. No, Joe is turned into a wanton, willing killer. He supports it. He wants to fund it. And these losers that call themselves pro-life evangelicals, I got to tell you, Jerusha and Huffman, you guys make me puke. You do. And you call yourselves Christians. Let's have affordable child care, and we'll hope that reduces the deaths in the womb, as opposed to somebody who actually is not against affordable child care, who's not against affordable wages, Trump, but who also happens to now support life in the womb. You butchering, I got to leave it blank. I'm getting upset, right? Be angry and sin not. Well, I'm angry at sin, and I will tell you, and if you've heard me long enough, if you've heard me more than 3 weeks, to know that my greatest sense of uncompromise, unwillingness to negotiate, my greatest sense of displeasure and anger and revulsion are those who call upon the name of Jesus to describe who they are and then carry out demonic policies like these two twits. Okay, let's move on. I think I covered that. Now, you've already heard this, no doubt, to some degree. I couldn't get to it last week. I would have been the first one out with a story, but it doesn't matter to be first. I want to be correct. I just didn't get time to it about the Governor Mussolini, the governor and champion of Sodom and Gomorrah himself, who signs a corporate boardroom diversity law. Now, I want to take you back 2 years ago. You wouldn't remember this program 2 years ago, but I do. I spent a lot of time on it. California passed a law that required that public corporations housed in California, of which there are about 600 and between 650 and 700, housed in California, had to have a woman on the board. Public corporation, you have to have a woman. Forget about freedom of association or freedom of non-association. But I said at this time, do you think that this is going to stop here? Of course not. The Democrats in California have always been about, are and always will be about, sticking the camel's rear end in the tent. Forget about the nose. They lead with their butts. And they will have their rear end in this tent, and they will push this policy to include more and more people on boards because they are from the pit of hell. And so guess what this legislation is? It's from the pit of hell. Hundreds of California corporations will now have to meet these racial and sexual minority quotas, or they'll get fined $100,000 for the first violation, $300,000 for each of the next violations. I'm not exactly sure what constitutes a violation. It could be, I suppose, every year that you don't meet this, you get slapped with these big fines. But you had to have one female director by 2019. And I warned, this is the way they did it with queer marriage. They started with domestic partnerships for people who are 62 years old and older, and the pastors didn't stand up because they said, hey, that doesn't affect us. Who cares about that? And the camel just kept backing his fat butt into the tent till finally his nose arrives. I mean, okay, says here, supporters evoked both a coronavirus pandemic that is disproportionately affecting minorities, and weeks of unrest. And note that the word unrest here, now this is an AP article, this portion of it, the AP has their own writing guide, which I mentioned a couple of years ago, every time it changes, you couldn't use the word homosexual. You couldn't use a clinical term and write for AP. You got to use gay, and they're anything but gay because that actually is a contingent of society that has more domestic violence than any other subset in society are queers beating the crap out of queers. It's a fact. It is a fact. If you could get at the real crime statistics, in Las Vegas, in San Francisco, it would bear it out. But they can't call it riots anymore. They got to call it unrest. And actually, thank you for a listener in North Carolina who also pointed that out. But says supporters evoke the coronavirus pandemic that is disproportionately affecting minorities. And I'm going to throw in here, which doesn't have jack squat diddly to do with having minorities on corporate boards, but whatever. And the weeks of unrest and calls for inclusion that follow the slaying of George Floyd in May in the custody of Minneapolis police. Well, first of all, we don't know that George Floyd died as a result of police action. That guy was screaming, I can't breathe, as he was being led. He was walking while he was saying, I can't breathe. But you know what? CNN and MSNBC and all those others, losers and prostitutes on the left, they will never tell you that. They won't show you that stuff. So let's go to what the author of this piece says. The new law represents a big step forward for racial equity. Racial equity. racial equity. Keep that term. This is a quote. The new law represents a big step forward for racial equity. Who does this law apply to? Those who would qualify, this is what you have on your board within 2 years. And if your board is 9 people or more, you got to have 3 of these individuals. Those who self-identify, notice self-identify as black. So I guess I could do that, right? I could self-identify as black and I could satisfy that. Or self-identify as Latino, Asian, Pacific Islander, Native American, Native Hawaiian, Alaska Native, or gay, lesbian, bisexual, or tranny, transgender. So here's the question. If you can satisfy this quota about being queer as a $3 bill, gay, lesbo, bisexual, tranny, if you can satisfy this law by all of those debaucheries on the board, what does that have to do with racial equity? It doesn't say anything about these having to be black, Latino, Native American, or Aleutian, Alaskan queers, or trannies. No, you can satisfy it out of either one or the other. But the bill was based on the pandemic dealing with alleged racial inequities. So we're going to solve the racial inequities by stuffing corporate boards in California with a pack of queers, bisexuals, lesbos, and trannies. Did you see how they work? Now, I'm going to make my next prediction. It's only going to be a couple years. You won't have a choice anymore. You will have to have some of each. You won't get to pick. I'll bet the ranch on this. Democrats are so easy to predict. But they say here, by the end of 2020, the more than 660 public corporations with California headquarters must have at least one board director from an underrepresented community, end quote. I have an idea. Here's an underrepresented community on California public corporation boards. Christians. We aren't represented on there. We're an underrepresented minority. Come on, you losers. You ones you talk about being inclusive. Lying hypocrites. Well, maybe a whole bunch of people will just fake it and start identifying as Latino and black and queer. And actually they're straight Republicans. They're straight Christians. But you can self-identify. That won't last long. You see, the self-identity where they want to make it easier for queers to have access and trainees to all sorts of areas to participate in society now does them a disservice. When you can self-identify, the other side can just simply fake it right back, right? Right. But where did the opposition to this legislation come from? The opposition. Do you think it came from the Christians? Do you think it came from the pastors in California? Not a chance. The opposition came from individuals who think that the law is faulty because you can get a twofer. If you get a lesbian on the board, you also have gotten a woman, unless the lesbo is actually a tranny, in which case you can't figure out what gender you've got on the board. But I guess it comes down to self-identification. The pushback has been that this law doesn't go far enough because it allows for people to do a twofer. You had to have a woman before, but now you can just get a black woman, a Latino woman, a Native Alaskan woman, get this Aleutian chick, what have you, or you get some gay, lesbo, whatever, tranny in there who happens to be female, and you've gotten two for one, and you actually haven't added to the alleged desire of diversity, and you haven't increased the inclusion ratio. That's their objection. Do you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Massachusetts. About 10 years ago, they were going to lower from felony status to misdemeanor status, which they did, the crime of bestiality. I'm sorry, folks, but it's having you and the cow getting it on or something gross, for which God said you deserve the death penalty. I'm with God on this and on everything. The only things that I'm not with God on are the things I don't know yet about what he's for. And do you know where the pushback came from? The essentially decriminalization of something as horrific and as debauched as bestiality? Where did the opposition come from? The pastors in Massachusetts? Well, there may have been a few, but there didn't seem to be any rising up that I could see, and I was going through the internet trying to find where the opposition. No, the opposition came from PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They thought that this was unfair for the animals to be imposed upon by humans. That was the only objection. That's how fundamentally screwed up Massachusetts is. Just unbelievable. So they say here, go on here, says, when we talk about racial justice, we talk about empowerment. We talk about power, and we need to talk about seats at the table. Well, you know what? Like I said to my kids when I was coaching Little League and they're all jumping around, I didn't say seats at the table. I said, get your butts on the pine, meaning sit down and shut up. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with racial justice. But that's not where the legislation ends. They've gone on to create a task force to study reparations in California. Interesting. California was never a slave state. It didn't get admitted to the Union until 1850. Come on, folks, get a brain. But they want to have slave reparations in a state that never had slavery, which, of course, means that billionaire LeBron James will be entitled to reparations because he's had it so hard. Because he just can't seem, and a whole bunch of other black athletes and whatnot, just can't get a leg up in California. They need reparations. What a bunch of nonsense. Fortunately, and praise God, there are a ton of blacks and Hispanics rising up to this country. They just say, hey, enough is enough. We aren't taking this left-wing Democrat crapola anymore. But what happens if Trump loses? I want to start with what happens when he loses before we get to what's going to happen if he wins. We're coming up to a break, but I got to get this in here. At least get this started. Do you remember John Podesta? Right? John Podesta. He was Bill Clinton's chief of staff. This is a Democrat that goes way back. He's deep in the mire and the muck. He's deep in the deep state. But he didn't stop at Bill's chief of staff. He went on to be White House counsel for BO himself, Barack Obama. And then he didn't stop there because he went on to be really Hillary Rodham, R-O-T-T-E-M, Clinton's campaign manager. So what has he said? What happens if Trump wins again? This is his tweet. He said, we should consider having California, Oregon, and Washington secede from the Union if Trump wins, and then elect Joe Biden as president of the new country. That's right. That's what the left is thinking. Well, in a short time, those three states would be a third world country because California's on its way there already. You want to know how stupid they are? Well, those who would bail them out of jail will no longer be associated with the federal government. We'll be right back. Rob Walter, don't go away. Red Sky Radio.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
dog's a Democrat. And it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact my dog might be a Democrat.
We are back. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. We talked just a moment ago about what John Podesta is urging if Trump wins, and that is that Oregon, Washington, Oregon, whatever, however you want to say it. I grew up saying Oregon. Anyway, Washington and California secede. Probably would be joined by Hawaii because they're filled with left-wing loonies. Alaska would not secede, not with those jokers. And it would be a third-world country, and pretty much the way it's headed right now, because I've predicted for the last 10 years, the time is coming when California will be comprised of three groups of people: the elite, your actors and everybody else, and your high-profile people with walls around their houses and guards with guns that we can't have; then the poor, because it's third-world country, and government workers. The middle class is being driven out. I hit it. I left. Took some people with me. Praise God. But what happens if Trump wins? That you've answered. Now what happens if Joe Biden wins? I have said for many, many years, and I'm going to go into detail, and I'm committing the rest of this program to this topic because you need to hear it. I do believe it is the beginning of the end, or it is the clear beginning of the end of the U.S. I've said this for a long time, that the United States is headed for a secession. I still don't think the secession will be left-wing Democrat states. I really don't. I still tend to think it will come about as a result of a left-wing takeover of power and conservative states leaving. Could be wrong, but I've said this is going to happen. I've been saying it for, my first radio program where I mentioned it, you ready for this? 1997, on a station in Los Angeles, and they never invited me back. But I've been saying it with great frequency, even militancy at some time for the last 10 or 12 years on this program, because it is from Scripture. You see, the left always says they're going to leave if George Bush gets elected and if Donald Trump gets elected. They all say they're going to leave. Barbara Streisand, all of them, I've never really liked her. I never liked her movies. I honestly don't even like her voice. A lot of people say, hey, you don't even like that voice. No, I don't, because I know who's singing. I know whose vocal cords they are. I've never cared for this woman. But she's promised us how many times now she's going to leave the United States if so-and-so is elected. You want to know who breaks campaign promises all the time? Every left-wing Democrat that says they're going to leave this country or leave a particular state if such and such happens. Well, such and such happens, but their sorry tush stays right there. Would you please fulfill your campaign promises and get out? When you say you're going to leave if Trump wins, please leave. Don't let the screen door slap you in the fanny on the way out. But this division is coming. I have mixed this with civil war. I do not think civil war is an automatic, even though I do think it's going to happen. And I've also said, I don't want civil war. I don't want division. I want this country to hang on and go on famously being a great support for the nation of Israel, which it will not be if Joe No-Brains, touchy-feely, handsy-grabby Biden gets in, and he's out of there in about 8 minutes before he resigns, and Cammy left-wing communist Harris, who hates Jews, comes in. It'll be the end of the United States, because it'll be the end of our support for Israel. Mark my words. It's as clear as can be. That's how critical this election is. But will the Civil War be an inevitable one? It will be if the right-leaning states secede from a left-wing government. They will bring in the troops. Then we got war. And I'm telling you, for the 80-umpteen time, make sure you got guns. Make sure you got rifles, handguns, revolver, semi-automatic, semi-automatic rifle, shotgun. Have about four or five guns. Buy them for all your kids and use them as stocking stuffers. However, you got to be careful with those kids, because it says in the end times, in the last days, those of your enemies will be those even of your own family. They will be your worst ones. Wasn't that the way it was in World War II? It was the kids. It was the Nazi youth corps that was turning in their parents to the Gestapo and the Nazi government. Those of your own household, some of them will become your enemies. And why do I say it? Because God said it. It's in the Word. Now, many have questioned this division. I even received an email a few weeks back from a fellow who said, you know, I've listened to you for some time. Honestly, you talk about Civil War. I thought you were nuts. I thought you were crazy. That was my used to. Not anymore. And that's why this program has caught on in the last couple years, because the times have caught up with this program. I've been preaching this stuff, if you will, for a long time. It's been easy to see it coming, honestly. It really has. And another listener wrote in and said, well, where are we going to go? Because all the lands of the world are occupied. There's no place. There's no free world. There's no new world to go to, like people did when they left Europe and came to the U.S. Well, we're going to cover that too. But first of all, I need to give you the biblical basis for the event dealing with secession. And the secession will be God-ordained. Keep in mind, there's only two ways to be ruled, by consent and by force. The left loves force. They love control. They got baby's blood coming out of between their teeth, practically, of the unborn. They've got anger in their veins. They're about ready to blow a fuse whenever Trump's picture shows up, like the kid who was pro-Trump and got kicked out of his class because his stupid teacher went ballistic, and most of the teachers today are trained and taught at left-leaning schools. That's why you need to be in a private school, need to homeschool, forget your vacation, forget the new SUV, put your children in Christian schools or homeschool, get them out of the reach and clutches of a government education system that hates anything and everything Christian, that's Christophobic, bibliophobic, Elohimophobic, El Shaddaiophobic, and will in no time, they desire to be the proselytes that turn your children into twice the child of hell that they are. And all I'm doing, folks, I'm still quoting scripture. How about that? All right, go to 1 Kings 11. Mark it down. If you can't read this with me, please mark it down and read it. 1 Kings 11. This is the paradigm from scripture as to why this country must split if there isn't an incredible, enormous change. And you know what? As long as you have children in government schools, it won't change. It's just going to get worse. You just crank out more Democrats every year. You know, you go to University of California, Santa Barbara, and you matriculate, you enroll there as a freshman, they got your registration card pre-printed as a Democrat. Because if you aren't one coming in, they know you will be one by the time you leave. Okay, 1 Kings 11. Starting with verse 1, I'm going to go through chapter 11. I said verse 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, starting with verse 1 through verse 11, and then we're going to touch on verses 14 and 23. But, this is after all the good things Solomon did. But, forget everything that precedes the but. If there's a but in here and you're on the wrong side of the but, you're just on the wrong side of God. And Solomon took that direction. It says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with a daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites. Now, I need to stop here, because it was foreign women that took Solomon's heart away. Now, I'm not saying anything against those of you who have married women in Germany that are still alive in World War II or married Vietnamese women. No, that's not my point. These women, starting with a Pharaoh's daughter, weren't just foreign in the sense of not coming from Israel. They were foreign in the sense of having foreign gods. I want to make that point very clear. Right now, some of the most notable, strongest Republicans, like a letter I got or email from a fellow in Central California this last week, that the whole family had come from Mexico and friends and everything, then they're all Trump supporters to the core. Some of our greatest patriots these days are those who are new immigrants who came here for the right reason. Same reason as Melania Trump, escape an oppressive system. Okay, that's verse 1. Of the nations concerning, well, wait, I got to back up. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of the Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, all of which had false gods. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them. In other words, don't marry, don't have kids with them. Neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. After their gods. And Solomon clung unto these women in love. And he had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. You know Ahab? Ahab was a bad dude, but you know who really got him going? A foreign god wife. I think she was Phoenician, Jezebel. I could be wrong, but she wasn't Jewish. She was bad news. She came from another country, but with foreign gods, Baal, Ashtoreth. And, of course, it doesn't help when you have 700 wives. I mean, goodness sakes, how many honeymoons is that? At 2 weeks of crack times 700, when was this guy ever on the throne? And, of course, the 300 concubines, it's just nothing but honeymoon all the time, I guess. Well, anyway, let's move on. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this very thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore, as a result of, in consequence of, the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done by you, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will tear the kingdom from you and give it to one of your servants. And God did that. He tore Israel in two. Benjamin was joined with Judah. But the 10 tribes under Jeroboam, who was a servant at one time of the king, as was John Podesta, one time a servant of the king, as were the governors of California and Oregon and Washington, whoever, they one time were servants of the king, of the president, so to speak, carrying out their constitutional duties. God, because he turned his heart. You know what? To whom much is given, much is required. God appeared twice to Solomon. I mean, there are many of us that God has appeared in a sense in our spirit, but we've never had the encounter that Solomon did. Twice it happened. And what does he do? Who are the gods of Ashtoreth and the god of the Ammonites, being Milcom and Chemosh? They offered up their children as living sacrifices. These were the abortions that Solomon, not only did he come to support, he built temples to slaughter innocent unborn children. This was how lost and gone he was. And God could not have shown himself kinder, more faithful, gave him wisdom beyond any person before or after, with the exclusion of Jesus. And yet he turned to slaughtering children and serving idols. And because he knew so much, he was given so much, and was favored so much, when you turn on God and you have been given that kind of blessing, know for a fact that judgment, as the word says, begins at the house of God. And it goes, and what does God do? Verse 14, the Lord stirred up an adversary, Hadad, a foreigner, right in 9:11. Verse 23, God stirred him up another adversary, Rezon, a foreigner. He brings, because this country, the core of its anti-God teachings has its roots in left-wing liberal Europe that's been incorporated, which is what B.O., Barack Hussein Obama, loved. He wanted us to be more like Europe. Those were where our evil ideas have, by and large, been imported from. Not exclusively. Some of it's homegrown. I won't deny that. But then God brings in, yet if the foreigners brought in the problem, then he brings and uses the foreigners as the judgment. Because Solomon was blessed. The U.S. was blessed. Solomon knew God. The U.S. has known God. Solomon's foundings and rootings were with the Lord. The U.S. foundings and rootings were clearly with God. Solomon was corrupted by foreign influence. The United States has been corrupted by foreign influence. Remember the book, The Naked Communist, or The Communist Manifesto, or The Human The Human Manifesto. These things had much of their origin from overseas. Solomon's heart was turned away first against God. The United States' heart turned away with outlawing teaching of the Bible and prayer, and then the introduction, and previous to that, the introduction of evolution. Then he became anti-contrary to the things of God. He came contrary. The U.S. has become affirmatively contrary. The U.S. now fit, but for Trump and some of his allies, they flip the finger to God. They shake their fist in defiance of all morality. And finally, Solomon turned to the slaughter of innocent unborn children, well, not innocent unborn children, slaughter of innocent born children offered up as a sacrifice to false gods, part of their idolatry. And we have the pro-aborts these days who think it's fine to let a child who is born alive sit on a table and rot and die. And Joe Biden is one of those creeps who has opposed legislation that would support and mandate the fact that children must be kept alive. If somehow they survive an abortion, they survive the god of Chemosh and Ashtoreth and Milcom. If they make it, Joe Biden is a murderer. The guy's a butcher. He's lied, and now he's lied some more because he wants to be on the side of slaughter them all because he doesn't have any guts, brains, or morals. And he's only channeling Bernie and the other left-wing nitwits who are yet more evil than he is. The good thing about Joe is he doesn't really have a brain. What he's got is bad, but he doesn't have a lot. It's what's behind him that's bad. So what are we doing here now? God ordained that secession in Israel. He split them up. There was war for years. And if the left is as violent as they are now when they are not in power, imagine what happens when they are in power. Just imagine when they actually are in power, how violent they will be. There's a big deal made up about these guys, the Michigan militia, and the plot to assassinate Gretchen Whitmer. I know there's a lot of people saying their only regret is that the plot wasn't successful. But my point is they actually haven't committed any violence, looting, or murder yet, right? So why isn't the FBI infiltrating BLM? Why isn't the FBI infiltrating Antifa? Why are they only infiltrating the Michigan militia? Do you see where this is going? This is how deep the deep state is. And so the question that arises is, so where do you go if Joe Biden wins? Can you go? Where do you go when Trump is done in 4 years if he does win? Now, I want to tell you, I don't think I'm going to finish this. I'm just going to have to pick up on this part next week because I got to do it right. Because I do have 7 things you need to know. And I'm just not going to do it justice. But I am going to cover the states that I think will leave the U.S. if Joe Biden is president, and the states that I feel confident will leave the U.S. if Joe Biden is president. Because he won't be president long. Harris is from the pit of hell. I mean, she's the wicked witch of the West. And all that animates this craving desire for absolute control. You thought Hillary was a Jezebel? Well, you know what? Hillary was Jezebel, but worse than Jezebel actually was Athaliah, who was Jezebel's daughter. That's what we're talking here with Kamala Harris. There's only a couple of states west of the Rockies that I think have the potential for seceding and going with the right side. And that'd be Wyoming, and Wyoming is a certainty. I think Alaska would say adios. And there's a possibility of Idaho, but Idaho is getting increasingly polluted by leftists moving out of the mess that they've created in Washington and Oregon so they can go to some else, other place and create a brand new mess. Utah, jury's out on Utah. Can't figure out that state. It could leave. It might not. Arizona could have 10 years ago. I think it could today. I don't know where it is in the future. So there's Wyoming, I think, is a certainty. Alaska, I think, is a certainty. Idaho, Arizona, and Utah, question marks, but they could. The ones that I think that are great probability would be the center column in the United States, the heartland, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Now, I want to tell you something about Texas. Texas won't lead us out. They will not be the leader. Texas will be a follower, not the leader. I think the states that would lead it would be Oklahoma or Tennessee. And I think those are the two greatest states in the country as far as sticking to the guns as to what Scripture says, what to do. They're well-armed. They're very free states. They support and love Israel. Tennessee's a great state. It would be a great... The problem is we got too many Hollywood types that are now moving to Nashville, so much so that Nashville has a Democrat mayor. But the state is still solidly Republican at the gubernatorial level and at the House and the Senate. Oklahoma, in the long run, might be the safer bet. Also, I think leaving would be Missouri, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, maybe Georgia. Problem with Georgia is Atlanta. South Carolina, Kentucky, I think will go. Tennessee, at this point, would be a certainty to be out. Indiana and West Virginia. Maybe Ohio, maybe Michigan. Now, those states are question marks. They have governors that are dictated too often by the big cities. But Michigan, as bad as wretched Whitmer is, the state house and the state senate are and have been Republican for a long time. So, and they have had some good Republican governors. It's just that you got the wicked witch of the Midwest now there. Now, I would like for you to just make a point of somehow tuning in next week because I cannot get through the 7 things I think that are priorities if Biden were to get elected. And even if he's not elected at some point, could Mike Pence win in 2024? If he ran, I don't know. I'm personally pulling for Donald Trump Jr. at that point in time. I think he'd be the one we need, but I don't know. It could be we've just turned our back so long God has had it. Does it say absolutely that we will be healed as a nation? Well, you know what? There are 3 times in the Old Testament where God says, no, I've had it. I've given them enough time. It says in Genesis, my spirit will not always strive with man. And those 3 times in Jeremiah where it says, don't pray. Don't pray for these people. Don't intercede. I am not listening to them anymore. And if I have chance, I'm going to go into a deeper teaching on 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is going to stun you. Does it apply? Yes, but not maybe in the way that we think it does. But I was asked last week by a person, would I close again in prayer? And I'm going to. That's what it's come down to. Is that what we're here? Is that what it's come down to? We got to pray? Well, yes, it's where we should start. But I want to end in prayer specifically for this president and this election. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God. We lift you up, and we ask that you rule and reign as your word says it will in the affairs of man, in the hearts. He says you raise up kings and you bring them down. You have clearly raised up Donald Trump for just such a time as this. Where he is on so many things, I don't know, but it is obvious that you have ordained him in office for this period of time. Father, we repent for the fact that with the 4 years of Donald Trump, Lord God, this nation doesn't seem to have repented like it should. But I do thank you, and I sense in my heart and spirit that there's more prayer going up for this president right now than there has been that has for any president in modern day history for sure, and maybe throughout the history of the United States. So protect them, Lord God. Confound the enemy. Father, let them turn on themselves like the Midianites and the Assyrians who turned and ended up slaying each other. Let the media and all of the left get into a circular firing squad, and you be glorified, and against all odds, you raise them up to a second term. To God be the glory. We'll see you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next week. God bless you.